It's time for our weekly look at Congress. Last week, we considered changes in the new Farm Bill. That bill has now passed both houses, passed the Senate yesterday, and it's being sent to President Obama for a signature. If you missed that discussion, you can check it out on Central Times page at WPR.org.
Well, on the table this week, the debt limit suspension that reopened the government last October expires on Friday, and the Treasury is expected to run out of money around the end of the month.
The federal deficit has also fallen dramatically. We'll see what that means for Congress. Here with us is Paul Singer, Congress and Politics editor at USA Today. He joins us every Wednesday at this time to catch us up on one of America's most disliked legislatures in history. Paul, always good to have you with us.
Nice to be here. Nice intro.
Well, and in that intro, we mentioned the government shut down and reopened last October. Okay, and we were done worrying about debt ceilings and so forth until Friday, when the debt limit suspension, I gather, expires. Are we back again where we started?
It's funny. We were not expecting to be back where we started. The theory was, as of about 10 days ago, Republicans didn't want to have this fight again. They think the shutdown affected them badly. They have lost some leverage because government funding for the year has already been approved. So, you know, they don't really want to default on debt, on the nation's debts. They don't want to be blamed for it. So the assumption was they were going to just sort of allow this one to pass. Well, the problem is that there is not consensus within the Republican conference about what to do. There are a handful of sort of Tea Party and ideologically conservative deficit hawks, I guess you'd call them, or debt hawks in this case, who really just don't want to raise the debt and don't want to vote yes. So the question is, are there enough votes to pass the thing? And they're just not sure. And they're also not sure, the Republicans, whether there's anything they can do to sort of negotiate something that will make their members happy. Because the Obama administration has said basically we're not going to negotiate it at all. Pass it, up or down.
So any chance this will be taken care of by Friday?
No.
Short answer.
No. House isn't going to vote this week. Next week is a little murky because it's possible the Senate could take this thing up and pass it clean, just, you know, debt limit clean, and then leave it to the House to go figure out what to do with it. But the House, next week, Democrats take off for a couple of days for a conference of their own to plan their strategies. So there's not a lot of time next week either. It won't get done pretty clearly this week, and it won't get done. Well, if it's going to get done next week, it better be done by this time next week.
But wait a minute. The deadline's this Friday, so the government doesn't shut down this Friday. It's kind of a softish deadline, huh?
Yeah, you and your deadline. So the way the debt ceiling works is basically at that point, we are now sort of at the limit of what we're allowed to borrow. But there is wiggle room. There are what they call extraordinary measures the Treasury Department can take. For instance, they can stop making some payments, or at least suspend making some payments to long-term pension funds, stuff like that. There is stuff they can do to wiggle around. They will tell you, and they have told Congress, they have much less wiggle room this time than they had last time. And the reason is tax season has begun. And so the Treasury's outflow of cash increases significantly. Basically, they start paying off all the tax returns they owe. So hundreds of billions of dollars flow out. They don't have a lot of money to monkey around with.
But it sounds as though we shouldn't be chewing our nails too badly. We're not going to get into a situation we were last October.
I don't think so. I'm not convinced this is going to become the kind of showdown that was. Because nobody really has an incentive to make that happen. I mean, even if they just figure out a way to, you know, punt it for a couple of months, that would be better. So we'll see. I'm not at this moment suggesting that anybody run for the hills.
Staying on the topic of money, the federal deficit we're reading has fallen pretty significantly. That the deficit's the annual shortfall, the debt is the running tally, so the debt is still going up. But does that decrease in the deficit change anything?
Well, I mean, it's a nice thing for the Democrats to be able to say that deficits are shrinking. One of the reasons that deficits are shrinking is that the economy is improving, so tax revenue is going up. Another reason that deficits are shrinking is because, you remember the fiscal cliff a year ago? Part of that whole fiasco was what amounted to a very large tax increase, particularly on wealthy people. So then you have, again, tax revenue goes up, deficits go down. It's kind of funny. You guys up in Wisconsin, I think your governor announced a $1 billion surplus, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we do have a surplus here. They're figuring out what to do with it in Wisconsin.
Yeah, same deal. The reason they got a surplus is because tax revenues increased over what they anticipated because the economy was getting better. So, you know, it's just basic math that when you have when the economy gets stronger and tax revenue increases, you've got more of it. You can spend down your pay down your deficits, or in some cases, actually bank up surpluses. To the degree it trends that way, it'll be very good for the Democrats to be able to say, "Hey, look, we're getting closer to a balanced budget."
So the rhetoric around the deficit has been pretty intense in the past several years. With this new news in hand, is how we talk about the deficit, is that going to change?
Nah, not really. I mean, because keep in mind, Republicans can still say, okay, well, let's cut spending to keep driving the debt down, the long-term debt down. Second of all, you know, all right, our deficit is down to $500 trillion. Well, that's good, but, you know, that's still real money in some people's accounting. And I think it's still I think that even with improving deficit numbers, we are still very clearly in a time of austerity. You know, we have come to a point where we have to realize, and I think the budget agreement that they agreed to late last year, earlier this year, you know, is really intended to stake out a position that is more fiscally responsible, more fiscally conservative, less spending, regardless of the deficit numbers, the year-to-year deficit numbers.
Let's turn to Congress's role, and I guess more specifically the Senate's role in foreign policy. The U.S. struck a deal with Iran last November during the nuclear talks. There's been tension over what to do about sanctions in Congress, and the president applying pressure, saying, watch out for those sanctions. It's going to ruin what we're talking about with Iran. What's the latest in Congress with that?
I know absolutely nothing about foreign policy. I'm proud of that. What I do know about Congress is that they, at the moment, appear to be willing to see whether these talks with Iran are going to make progress. That there have been some hopeful signs. There have been some indications that, in fact, Iran may be willing to make moves towards stepping down their nuclear program. That's good. And the White House can say and said to Congress fairly clearly, give us time to let this work before we start talking about new sanctions in Iran. And for the moment, at least, it looks like Congress has been willing to say, well, okay. I'm not sure they have a whole lot to gain, honestly, in Congress from trying to push a new sanctions bill now. You know, why? As long as the headlines coming out of Iran are decent, why push your luck? Because it won't be hard for them to pass it as soon as it becomes clear that Iran is not serious. It won't be hard for them to pass new sanctions.
Well, let's move from foreign policy back to home turf. States and municipalities have been increasingly crafting their own legislation on marijuana. It doesn't look like President Obama is planning to block anything, but is Congress going to do anything when it comes to stepping in when states decide to go their own way?
It's really interesting. You know, it's a hard nut for Congress to crack. They don't necessarily have a lot of authority here. In fact, if you wanted to have the federal government crack down on states that are loosening penalties for marijuana, you would have to make the argument that the states' rights don't prevail, which is in some cases a religious argument in Congress, right? There are people who are very, very committed to states' rights and who argue that, in fact, the federal government has overstepped its bounds. And not to sort of, you know, throw the whole ball of social hot buttons at you at once, but if you want to say that states should be allowed to, for instance, ban gay marriage, then what if states want to ban gay marriage but allow marijuana? You know, I mean, it's a tough issue for Congress to get into that way when the states are deciding to do stuff on their own. There's also, I'm not sure they got a whole lot of authority, right? They could, I guess they could pass another bill saying, you know, the Justice Department shall enforce federal law even where the states are not being helpful. But I don't know if they're going to make much progress on that front. At the moment, I think watching the states play this out themselves is really where it's going to lie.
All right. I don't know if I'm surprising you here with this. I saw a couple pieces of news today. Two new likely candidates for Congress. American Idol star Clay Aiken, Saturday Night Live veteran Victoria Jackson, Democrat and Republican respectively. Will more celebrities in Congress make your job more fun?
Yeah, totally. Although, not necessarily. Like, we thought Al Franken was going to be the greatest thing to happen. You know, he was going to come and be hilarious. But, you know, he has avoided us, the national press, like we're plagued. He barely talks to us at all, and he's almost never funny. We got to go find other people to make us laugh. But it's always great to have, you know, your celebrity congressperson wander down the hall. I was here when Cooter was here.
From the Dukes of Hazzard.
Yeah, and Gopher from the Love Boat. You know, we always enjoyed that.
All right, something to look forward to. Paul, thanks a lot for joining us.
All right, we'll talk to you guys later.
That was Congress and Politics editor at USA Today, Paul Singer. He joins us each Wednesday at this time to talk Congress.